Hey geeks, welcome to episode 86 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. On this week's episode, we discuss SDCC from NYC, which if you guys are following us on Twitter, you saw the hashtag all weekend during San Diego Comic-Con and Nerd Headquarters. But if you're curious what I'm talking about, stay tuned and enjoy the show. Every friggin' time. You know what gives me a lot of feels? The way the nerd community was just all over social media this weekend.
Aww.
It was just so much fun. Like, I literally at one point on like Friday was like, I feel like I've gotten a giant nerd hug. This is so fabulous because we had people tweeting along with us.
Which is awesome, BT Dev. Yes,
I know. This is the first year that that's kind of happened. Like that, and it's, and by that I mean people that aren't our friends.
It's the first year that it's happened with someone not Les.
Yeah, well, thankfully Les was there to tweet for us when we were able to be there, which was so fantastic. So big shout out and a thank you to her. So before we get too in depth on this, I think we should probably explain SDCC from NYC.
Which started as a joke several years ago.
So I think it was 3 years ago that it started as a joke because it was before we had our podcast and everything.
It was 4 years ago.
Was it four? Oh, my God.
I think because we've done 2 years.
With the podcast.
With the podcast. And we did 2 years before the podcast. It was the first year that our friend Andrea got to go to Comic-Con for some website she was doing. And
yeah,
she brought our other friend with her, and I remember it was also the first year of Nerd HQ, and we were watching them, and I remember them coming up on Nerd HQ a couple times in
the
audience.
That was the year of, I think that was the year that, his name just ran out of my head. Samuel Beckett, what's his real name? He's played Chuck's father on Chuck. Oh, man. Bad nerd.
Scott Bakula.
Thank you. See, I remembered it.
I said it.
It came to my head literally right before you said it. But anyway, that was the year that Zach and Scott Bakula were danced to Jesus Christ Superstar?
Godspell.
It was Godspell. That was the best.
Kate has these memories of things that I did not actually get to witness, but I know the answers to what she's saying.
You didn't get to witness it, but I did. And I forget who I was tweeting with while it was going on, because we were just going back and forth about him on Godspell, them singing Godspell, and I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this right now.
I do believe they sang We Beseech Thee, just so you know.
Right, so then I don't know if we started the hashtag then.
It was the second year that we started
our hashtag. So we've been using the hashtag SDCC from NYC, which is a little long.
But still brilliant.
But it's the truth, so I guess we could always change it to like SDCC from EC, like the East Coast. But I like the from NYC because the 1 year it actually for me was from, no, it wasn't. I was gone from New York City by that point, but that's okay. So we started the hashtag because we were live tweeting along with our HQ panels. And we were like, we want a way to go back and remember these conversations. So let's just make a hashtag. And it's just expounded since then. So like this year, I feel like we did a bit more all over San Diego Comic-Con coverage, because what was really cool about Comic-Con this year, and I feel like it hasn't happened in years past, the panels from Comic-Con were online overnight.
Right. I feel like
legit people who were taping them, like Flicks from the City had panels up in no time.
Right. I feel like over the years, they have, the only other way to catch other things as quick was with, if they were doing live feeds. I know a couple of the Marvel would do it, and a couple other ones had some live feeds going.
Yeah, Marvel did their live feed again this year from the booth with interviews and stuff, which I haven't gotten a chance to catch up on any of those. But the awesome thing for me was that I was able to, when I wasn't watching Nerd HQ, which I kind of treated it this year like I was actually at the con. So if there was a panel, which I was working the entire weekend, and you've heard me talk about it before, guys, but I work for a theater company and we were running a musical this weekend, closing the musical this weekend. And that's two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday, two shows on Thursday, one show on Friday. So for me to have seen as much as I did was pretty cool.
That was pretty amazing.
But that, which is why it was so great that Les was able to hop in there and tweet for us.
Well, yeah, especially because I had some real life shenanigans that went down.
Yeah.
So I was put out of commission for all of that.
Yeah, things happened to both of us that, which was unfortunate. But anyway, so what I was saying was I treated it kind of like I was really at the con, and I was like, okay, this panel is at this time, this panel is at this time, that panel isn't until that time. Okay, I don't have to watch this, that, and the other. However, when I was at work early and, you know, styling wigs, I had Nerd HQ's live feed up on my computer. So I did watch like part of the Mr. Robot panel, and I watched some of the Star Wars gaming that they were doing, the live gaming that they were doing, and certain things. So, but even so, I just want to give a big, big shout out to Nerd HQ, The Nerd Machine, Zach Levi, and IGN for making it possible for us to do SDCC from NYC this year, which was so much fun. I had so much fun. I think we made like a bunch of Twitter friends this year, which was so cool.
Nerd friends, we love you.
So if you guys are listening to the podcast, hi, welcome. We promise we don't bite unless you ask.
Nicely. You have to ask nicely.
You do have to ask nicely. So why don't we just talk about, like, do you have a favorite panel that you watch from Nerd HQ?
I mean, there was the whole Joss Whedon debacle, but all right, so guys, I was unable to watch anything pretty much since the time I left my office on Friday till Sunday morning. The ML panel was during my commute, which made me less than happy. Saturday, the reason I was not around was a fun reason. One of my friends turned 30, and her boyfriend, and she has a twin sister, her twin sister's boyfriend threw them a joint Harry Potter-themed birthday party.
Oh, that's fabulous and geeky and so SDCC.
Which was amazing.
That is so
awesome. But it was way down in South Jersey, so in order to get there on time, we had to leave before the panel started, mm-hmm. and we didn't get back till they were just about over. Actually, we got back after they were over, so.
But you think, are you saying that you had to miss it, but that's your favorite one?
No, I'm going there.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm getting there. Sorry, I'm bringing up my links page because I have lots of them. The favorite panel from Nerd HQ that I watched, though, was, big shocker, Supernatural.
That panel was ridiculous.
Those men descend into madness every
so
year.
Quickly and so quickly.
And so brilliantly. And they got Aisha Tyler to moderate again. She moderated last year. And she is just a ball of fun.
Inappropriateness.
But that's what's so great about it.
But she did it to, like, the fans, too, asking questions. One guy asks a question during, I don't remember which panel. I was going back and watching them yesterday. And some guy asks a question and she goes, are you serious right now?
Yep. She is the voice of the people.
Pretty much. She was fun. But no, the Supernatural panel, I have a theory that whenever Mark Shepard is involved, things just descend into pandelirium pretty quickly.
Well, especially Misha Collins was supposed to be there, but he had to return home. And so he didn't. But there are certain things you can always expect at a Supernatural panel. Descent into madness.
Penis jokes.
Always. No, there's not always.
Sometimes there were several. Clean.
There were several on this one, which there were several unicorn blowjob references, which were hysterical, but...
Well, when you come dressed as a unicorn and you try to stick the microphone in the mouth to ask a question...
Things happen. The other thing is the boys will always get fed gummy bears. Every year.
Yeah, every year they've done Nerd HQ. Getting gummy bears, and then Jensen throws them at people.
He was throwing something else this year, but yeah, he has a tendency to throw them.
Hysterical. Absolutely hysterical.
What can I say? It's always madness and fabulous. The other panel that I thoroughly enjoyed was that I was able to watch in real time was the Sherlock panel, because Stephen Moffat is a gigantic troll.
Yes, he is. He's such a jerk.
He's brilliantly funny.
Oh, fabulous. Like, I love British humor, and I always have, which is why I think there's a movie that just came out with Colin Firth called Kingsman. I found it hysterical, but it's hysterical in, like, a Johnny English stupid humor kind of way.
Yes.
Because that's, British humor is just so dry, and I have such a dry sense of humor that I find it hilarious, which is why half the time I'm laughing at Hayley Atwell, because I'm like, she just made a joke and y'all don't get it. she just made a joke.
Well, the Moffat was in rare form.
Yes, he was.
And this happened to be showing while I was at work, so I was watching it at my desk, giggling maniacally.
See, that happened. I watched many a panel at work this weekend, and when I would be running the shows on Saturday and Sunday, I just left the feed up on my laptop. So, because there were points during the show that I would pop downstairs for like 10, 15 minutes at a time. So I just left it up and running, and I had one of the musicians walk by, and he goes, it's during the show. He goes, what are you watching? And I was like, Nerd HQ. And he goes, what's that? And I was like, I'll tell you after.
Well, this
poor... Because I just couldn't explain it all in, 2 seconds.
This poor assistant who just started a month or so ago, I feel so bad for her because she got me at my worst time. And by worst time, I don't mean that I'm mean or anything. I just mean, like, between Nerd HQ, Comic-Con, and a couple other things that were happening in my life, I have the tendency to break out into hysterical laughter at my desk. Just like a crazy person. And, like, most people in my office have come to accept this as the norm.
Well, I am the accepted geek of the theater, basically. Like, I turned to one of the girls this weekend, and I forget, I was mentioning some actor from the MCU. And I was like, have you seen the first Captain America movie? And she goes, no. And I went, never mind. Like, I forget sometimes that...
Never you mind.
I am the lone nerd in this theater company. Not really. I mean, there were a couple in the cast that I was working on, but I found that out entirely too late. And neither one of them was paying attention to San Diego Comic-Con at all. And I was like, but come on. Like, you're walking around with a Batman phone case. But so my favorite panel of Nerd HQ, this will be no surprise to anyone, was the Agents in Primetime. With Clark Gregg, Chloe Bennett, Hayley Atwell, and James Darcy. And I did not get to watch most of it in real time. I had to go back and watch it later. But I now want a Keep Calm and Call Mr. Jarvis t-shirt.
As do we all.
And the four of them cracked me up all freaking weekend with their Dub Smash War, let me just say.
I immediately tried to buy the t-shirt.
Did you find it?
No, I haven't found it yet. But as soon as he stood up with the t-shirt, I legitimately started Googling it to see if I could find it somewhere.
Clark, I love how Clark Gregg, as soon as he showed it, Clark Gregg was like, there'll be one in my suitcase. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where you got it from, but it's awesome. So yeah, that panel was really, really great. And I feel like a lot of the time and it happened all weekend with all the panels I even watched from San Diego Comic-Con. I feel like a lot of the time when Hayley Atwell is on a panel with people that are not necessarily from Agent Carter, they all still direct the questions to her. So this panel was really good because they all got questions or got a joint, like a generic question that was for all of them. And a lot of their answers were really, really fun. And the four of them were just having a ball with each other. You could tell that they were having a great time all weekend with each other. Especially, I love Chloe Bennett talking about how they were like they couldn't get their Dub Smash that won the Dub Smash War, by the way. The minute I saw it, I was like, you win, that's it, mic drop, you're done. Chloe Bennett was talking about how they couldn't get it to upload, and they were in the van on the way to like a red carpet, and all she cared about was that they couldn't get the Dub Smash to upload. I don't know, I found it a lot of fun. I think the fans asked some really good questions, and it was... really, really great. The other one that I found really informative, and I'm so glad that they did it last minute, they had a last minute on Friday morning. Well, it was afternoon for us, but Friday morning in California, they did an Operation Smile panel. And they got to talk to the husband and wife who founded the foundation. And they were talking about going over to the countries that they service and seeing actually what they're doing and being in there with the surgeons and all of that stuff. And they told a couple of stories that, and it was early on, you guys, for me to be tearing up. They told a couple of stories that I'm like sitting at work with tears rolling down my face of like a woman who was trying to cross the border from one country into another and her husband was killed and she gave birth right there and the baby was born with a cleft palate and they were able to do the surgery right there.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. They told a couple of amazing stories like that that just make you go, wow, my life problems are nothing. But I am always the huge sap who is tearing up watching Nerd HQ. And, like, there were a couple of panels. I know Nathan Fillion's panel, but I feel like there were a couple of other panels where they did a little bit of an auction at the end of it.
Mm.
And that is always the moment that I start to get weepy. So like I know that Nathan's first panel with the money that he raised from the auction, they raised enough money for 19 surgeries. Just that one panel. So each one of these panels raised $4,000. That's 16 surgeries. That's insane. And like that is an amazing thing.
Well, did you hear? And once again, this goes back to, I'm sorry, I'm harping on the Supernatural fandom here, but like again, those fans are crazy.
You know what? They're crazy, but they are an amazing group of people because no fandom is like theirs.
Well, I say in the best possible way, because they're sort of like this giant family, which is for the most part pretty cohesive. There's, you know, a few, every fandom has its crazies, but for the most part, you know, things tend to go well.
Some fandoms have more than their share.
And Jared Padalecki, his birthday is coming up. I forget when exactly it is, but there was some fan who came from, again, I'm butchering this because I watched this live on Sunday and my brain has gone to mush, who came from another country and they had raised a ridiculous amount of money for Operation Smile and also for another charity, like gobs and gobs of money in support of him and his birthday. Like, in honor of your birthday, we got all of this money together and we're going to donate it to charity for you.
That's pretty stinking awesome.
It was ridiculous.
The Supernatural fandom is the fandom that I want to join but know nothing about. Like, it's like
when I'm getting you there, don't worry.
I know, but the only equivalent I have is like when you become like best friends with someone and then suddenly you're like ushered into their family, but you know nothing about it, but you show up at like the first family dinner and they all love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think the Supernatural fandom would be. Like if I was like, hey guys, this stuff's awesome. I watched the first three seasons way back when it was airing.
And they'd be like, cool, let's catch you up.
Great, welcome. Like I watched the SDCC panel for Supernatural part of it this morning. I couldn't quite take the Kings of Khan who were moderating it, so I turned it off. But Jensen was like, who started watching Supernatural this year? And there was a remarkable amount of people who yelled. And I was like, oh, hey, look at that. And everyone all weekend long was making like, we're going into our fourth season, we're no Supernatural kind of jokes. I know Stephen Amell made that joke.
Of course. Because.
Nerd HQ is awesome. I hope one year we get to actually be there. Because I would literally fly out to San Diego and donate my entire weekend to Nerd HQ.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting here all weekend thinking, like, what can I do? Like, I just got to sit in my house in work or lay in bed and watch this for free. I wasn't there. I didn't donate. I didn't, like, what can I do? So I'm on that path. We'll see what comes of it.
We'll see what happens
here. We'll see what comes of it.
Speaking of other things, aside from panels, and we will have the Nerd HQ link up for you guys to take a look at the panels.
You guys should go and look at all of those panels. They were super fun. The Con Man series panel, oh, if I wasn't that excited for that series, I am ridiculously excited for that series now after seeing that trailer. I watching the trailer for Con Man, I was like, oh, hey, look, it's so-and-so, it's so-and-so, it's that person, it's this person. There are so many people involved in this show. And they crowdfunded it. 46,000 people were the producers on this series. That's insane.
Yup.
Anyway, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, we'll have those panels up for you guys. But also, there was a bunch of trailers released.
Oh, holy crap.
And also, I feel like we should discuss the controversy. Surrounding the Suicide Squad footage.
Oh.
You know of the controversy, yes?
Refresh my memory.
Okay, quick refresher course. So basically, they showed a trailer.
Right.
At San Diego Comic-Con, and once again, Warner Brothers was like, this is just for you people, no one else shall see it.
It got leaked,
and so then Warner Brothers decided to release it. Okay, cool. But they also released it with, like, this statement that basically sounded like someone's parents being like, we are very disappointed in you, now we can't trust you.
Oh, screw off.
At which point, I just think, I mean, Warner Brothers DC blows my mind with their, excuse my French, crap marketing.
They do have crap marketing. I said to a friend of mine this weekend, why did it take them 3 years to make a movie that Marvel would have made in 8 months?
Not only that. Watching the Suicide trailer, I will explain, when I watch a Marvel trailer, even if I have no interest in the movie whatsoever from the get-go, there's always that feeling of me being like, okay, this is going to be cool. I'm getting excited. I want to see this now.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Prime example. Even Ant-Man. I'm still not like, oh my God, Ant-Man. But after seeing the footage that they've been releasing, I'm like, you know what? That's going to look really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Meanwhile, I watched the Suicide Squad trailer, and I'm sitting there. Now, this is some contention because my little mailroom minion was watching all the trailers and stuff, and he's like, how could you not love it? It was fabulous. And I'm the cinematography, and I was just like, I was bored. It looks like every other movie that DC Warner Brothers has put out in the last, you know, 10 years. Furthermore, I watched it right before watching the Batman, Super Batman and Friends movie, as I like to call it.
It's still going to be Super Batman and Friends.
After watching Super Batman and Friends, and it felt like it was the same movie.
It did, didn't it?
It felt like the exact same movie.
Can I tell you the only moment in the Super Batman and Friends trailer that I got excited for was Wonder Woman. And I know she's barely in the movie.
Well, you know what else? They show her in, like, plain clothes. I didn't recognize her. I'm like, who the hell is
that?
Neither did I. And then all of a sudden they showed her in full Wonder Woman regalia. And I was like, oh, that's right. She's in this movie.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to make a Justice League, so...
She's the end friends.
At least now having seen the trailer, I understand what the movie's about. Why did it take this long for me to understand why they were fighting each other?
I mean, honestly, I think it was very important for them to show that scene in the trailer where Bruce Wayne's, you know, building is destroyed in that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler. But, and I now understand why they are fighting, but I still don't really care.
No,
like,
I don't
that's
either.
The thing. I watched both those trailers and just I didn't get the feels. Like, I didn't get the feeling like, oh, I'm so excited for this. I cannot wait to see this. It was basically looking at it going, well, I'm gonna see this because as a nerd I have to.
See, I didn't feel that way entirely. Super Batman and Friends, there were moments in it that made me go, okay, now I will go. Remember, if you remember back when we were first talking about it, I was like, nope, not spending my money. I'll wait for the DVD. After watching the trailer, I was like, okay, I'll go see it in theaters. But after watching the Suicide Squad trailer, which I only knew a little bit about it because I saw the pictures and stuff, and then we were chatting about it a little bit. So seeing the trailer made me go, yeah, all right.
Listen, I love me some Suicide Squad. I read the comics. Like, love it. I think it's a great concept. You know, they had them on Arrow for a TikTok, and that was great. But I'm just...
Yeah, not long enough.
I'm not so much feeling what they're giving me. And also, it was a lot of Harley Quinn in the trailer. And you, if y'all know me, you know that's my girl. Like, that is my character. She has been my girl since the animated series. Like, her first episode, I was like, yes, bring it.
Because they're both insane.
True. But I'm just watching and, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that it was a bad portrayal from what I've seen.
I'm not overly thrilled with the costume.
It just seemed, oh, why does she have to be in, like, booty shorts? Why can't we give her actual shorts?
This is the eternal question with every woman
on
TV.
The sad thing about Harley Quinn is her first costume, she was fully covered. Mm-hmm. And as the years have gone on, she's been wearing progressively less and less. And that is not okay, folks. But furthermore, I'm watching it, and the thing was, I'm watching a trailer that's mostly Harley Quinn, and I am not excited. She's not exciting me in any way, shape, or form. And don't even get me started on what they gave us of Jared Leto as the Joker, because I realize it wasn't a lot. And again, you can't judge someone's performance on like a split second in a trailer and whatnot. But he really sounded like he was doing a poor man's impression of Heath Ledger. And if I want to see Heath Ledger Joker, I'm just going to go watch The Dark Knight. I don't need to see you try to pretend to be it.
I hear you on all of those points. The only thing I can say is let's just put a pin in that until we see it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I know you can't judge something fully like that on just a few minutes in a trailer, but that is
You know what I can judge like by just a few minutes in a trailer?
What?
Deadpool. I lost my mind a little bit watching the Deadpool footage, and I watched it when it was leaked. Like the night of, a friend of mine that I work with was like, yeah, my friend's the guy who posted that. I was like,
and oh, how you didn't awesome. Send it to me, I'm mad at you.
Yes, I did. I so totally did. At like 2 o'clock in the morning, I sent you and Les both the
links. I can't
links
be expected to see things at 2 in the morning.
What?
I can't be expected to watch things at 2 in the morning.
I didn't expect you to watch it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I expected you to see it when you got up the next day.
Anywho, yes. Oh. But everything about that movie makes me happy.
Ryan Reynolds.
But that is a prime example of Marvel releasing their footage correctly.
Oh, agreed. But I feel like Ryan Reynolds said it perfectly in the Deadpool panel from SDCC, or the Marvel panel from SDCC. He's like, how they let us do an R-rated movie, I will never know.
But it had to be that way.
It did have to be that way. Right. And they did go from R to PG back to R. And you just can't make Deadpool without it being R. He makes too many jokes and shoots too many people.
Deadpool is us if they allowed us to be that way. If society allowed us to be that way.
I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the actual costume in the film. And like, right. We've seen the footage and we've seen a couple of behind the scenes pictures and stuff, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I love that Marina Baccarin is in it.
Of course you do.
Well, yeah. And can I just say, I just have to say.
You can say.
The guy who was moderating the Deadpool panel, please learn to say people's names before you get out
Wait,
there.
Wait, my question for you. Which Deadpool panel were you watching? Because the one that I watched, which
it might not have,
it
might not have been the Deadpool panel. She was on another panel during the day too.
Because the Deadpool panel was moderated by Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, no, okay, it wasn't Hardwick. No, it was not that one. It was the CW or no, the Fox one. And when he was announcing the cast of Gotham, not only did he pronounce Marina Baccarin's name wrong, he pronounced Donald Logue's name wrong.
Ugh.
And someone else. And I was just like, you were just in the green room with these people. If you knew you had to announce them, which you knew you did, and also, you were iffy on their name, you go up to them and ask them how to say it.
Also, Donald Logue.
Yeah. I forget how he said his name. Did Donald he call Logue Donald? Or something like that. It was awful.
I love that man. I get excited whenever he's on anything.
I
ever.
Adore him. You know, if you guys were listening to us back when we were watching Gotham, he was the reason I started watching Gotham.
He is Gotham, as far as I'm concerned. But was it prime example on weekends is SVU time for me. Or rather just Law and Order in general. The boy has a running joke that it's not a weekend if I haven't marathoned some form of Law and Order. Because it's always on and it's good like background noise, which I can get engrossed in and watch it, but I can also like walk away and get stuff done. And there was an episode on Sunday night and it had Donald Logue as like a guest appearance and I just got so ridiculously excited.
You know, Law and Order has become the new Star Trek. Everyone is a guest star on Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
It's fabulous. So yeah, I don't know. The only bummer I have is that, well, I guess she's not playing an ass kicking woman right now, but they did the Women Who Kick Ass panel at San Diego Comic-Con. Marina Baccarin should have been on that panel. But that panel was awesome, by the way. It gave me an incredible new love for Gwendolyn Christie, who can tell a story like no other.
But I mean, I disagree with you on the Marina point.
Why?
I don't know when she, aside from Inara.
Well, no, that's what I just said. I don't think she's
playing. Well, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, aside from Inara, all of the roles I've seen her play since are not such the kicking butt roles.
Well, on V, she was the queen.
Mm. Okay.
But I
recently
hear you.
She's been on like Homeland, she's been on Gotham, and all of these are not happy lady.
No,
lady
they're not. Parts. No, they're not. And that's why I said I don't think she's, I would have liked her to have been on that panel, but that panel was really awesome. Like the fact that Kathy Bates was on that panel, I wigged. I was like, Kathy Bates.
Yeah. Speaking of footage that we've been talking about, were you able to watch the Star Wars footage?
I made a noise that only dogs can hear when I watched that. I was at work when it dropped. Oh. And I was like, it was right before I was going into the show on Friday. I don't remember what night it was. It was right before I was going to do the evening show, whatever night it was. And I watched it, and I definitely made a noise that only dogs can hear when Princess Leia appeared on the screen. Like, lost my mind. Listen, you have to understand, Star Wars was the first nerdy thing that I got into as a, like, nine-year-old. I was into two things when I was 9 years old, Star Wars and the 1960s Batman show.
I love you. This is why we're friends.
I know.
But the thing that was so exciting to me about the footage is, because they're showing all the behind the
which I adore.
Behind the scenes. There you go, Steph.
You can speak.
And I was just so excited that it's real effects.
I was so impressed with them when they were like, no, we wanted it to all be real. Production designer who, of course, I think he's a production designer. I can't remember his name, but he was talking about how he never had a bad day at work because he was coming in and like building the Millennium Falcon.
And how can you have a bad day if you're building the Millennium Falcon? You can't!
Exactly. It was just so super cool to see the amount of people who were in love with this project. I loved the way that they did the panel, too. Did you get a chance to watch the panel?
Not the full panel, no.
Okay, well, the way that they did it, they announced like the director, producer, and a woman from Lucasfilm first and talked to them, asked them questions. Then they announced the three newbies, that they're calling them the newbies.
Of course.
Or the new kids or something. And they announced the three of them. And then talk to them a little bit. And then they announced Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford.
So because you know if they had announced them first, nobody else would get to talk about anything.
Right, exactly. And I'm pretty sure that it wasn't just Chris Hardwick who had that thought. I'm sure someone else did as well.
Oh, yes.
But I thought that was really smart because we got to talk to everybody. And now I was a little iffy, I'll be honest. I was really iffy on this because I'm a Star Wars purist. A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. That is it. The other three don't exist to me because I hated them.
Oh my God, they were awful.
Because they were terrible. The only good thing about the episode one was Liam Neeson. Mm. And, Kiefer Sutherland was in it as well.
Ewan McGregor.
And Ewan McGregor.
I enjoyed.
Okay. So there were a few good things about it, but they do not exist in my mind. And I've had this debate with someone and I'm like, what movies? They don't exist.
What are you talking about, Seth?
So being the Star Wars purist that I am, I do like the remastered version though. I'm not gonna knock that. I was really iffy on them making another Star Wars movie, and then when they announced that they were gonna have the three original cast members come back, I was like, but they're all older. Like, how are they gonna do this? And now that I have seen some of the behind the scenes footage, some of the pictures, heard the cast speak, I am so excited for this movie. I cannot wait for December and for it to come out because I will be going to a midnight showing.
Well, you know what? We'll go together, dear. J.J. Abrams is actually one of those directors with something like this that I am willing to trust.
I trust Abrams especially because he did such a great job with the first two Star Trek movies. I am so bummed he's not doing the third one.
I know.
And just
like,
seeing what
again,
he did
like
with
those
movies.
He's a director, writer, yes, producer, whatever, who I felt like could take on this project and I wouldn't have to worry about it too much. It's different when you tell me Zack Snyder is doing a comic book movie and then I quake because
in JJ we trust.
In JJ we just, not as much as Joss, but quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of trust in Joss with what he does with everything. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back to Joss in a minute.
Yeah.
Other footage / trailers / thingies that were leaked about, not leaked, The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead premiered their trailers.
Yes, they did.
I just want to put it out there. I'm so excited for Fear the Walking Dead because I so want to witness everything going to hell. Because that's the one thing we lack.
You sadist.
No, I know, but that is like the one thing we lacked with the original series. Yeah. Because following Rick, and Rick's in a coma when everything gets crazy. For the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want to know, like, how it went down. And because you could sort of infer that since the military tried to napalm Atlanta,
right,
that it didn't happen everywhere at once. Because if they thought they could just wipe out a city and have the problem be over, clearly it wasn't occurring in other places. So I'm kind of curious how it worked its way over, how people started catching on to what was going on.
I don't know. There was something in the trailer that piqued my interest, which you guys, if you haven't watched that trailer and you want to, spoiler alert.
We're going to put it up for you as well.
We will put it up for you, but this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler, so just turn us off for a sec. There's a point in the trailer where the teacher is in the room and he's teaching, and he was like, and he says something about, and how can, something about it happening in London and how it's not going to come over from London. I'm wondering if that's just coincidence and that's like what they're making him teach about, or if London is one of the epicenters as well. Because we see it, since this show is an American show, it's being made in the United States, they're setting it in the United States. So they set The Walking Dead in Atlanta. They're setting Fear the Walking Dead in Los Angeles. But what if the major cities like that are the hubs specifically because of air travel?
Oh,
so it could have started in Atlanta, but then the major cities are going to become the hubs. So Atlanta, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, London.
Dude, I would love to see them set one in New York City.
I want to see them set one in London.
Well, think about it this way, though. New York City is so densely populated.
Yeah, and in a bit of a different way from other cities.
It's just people on top of people here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of curious as to, you know, how they do things to survive. Dude, if it was me.
Yes, I know you have a plan.
Well, no, I have a plan locally for me that'll work out. But I'm saying if I'm in New York City and this shite goes down, I think perhaps the best thing to do, which seems kind of weird, but being as zombies can't swim, we've established they can walk. But
you go to the Statue of Liberty?
That'd be a little tourist populated. I would go to Roosevelt Island. Not Roosevelt Island. What's the one with Ellis Island?
Ellis Island. That'd be pretty awesome. I don't know if I told you this or not, but my apprentice class voted me most likely to survive the zombie apocalypse.
I mean, that's a given.
It was between that or most likely to become a superhero. And I was like, aw.
Aw.
But it was really cute. But yeah, no, that's pretty good plan, actually. One of my friends was like, well, think about it. In New York City, as long as you got an abandoned building and you took out the stairs.
Mm-mm.
I was like, no, how are you going to get down to get food and stuff?
How do you get supplies?
Exactly.
Unless you're thinking, like, hop from one building to the next, but if you can do it, there's no reason that the zombie can't figure out a way to do it.
The zombies can't jump.
Well, no, but, like, but think about it. It's just the jumping back and forth would get dangerous, so you'd have to set up some sort of, like, plank or something, and then, what if the building you're going into with stairs is, like, zombies downstairs? You don't know. Like, that's just not going to work. No, you got to go to, like, and because...
I really didn't hope they to God we never have this situation.
And I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, I read some book when I was... I read this in a book, folks.
I read this in a book when I was 10 years old.
No, I was older than 10, but I remember in, like, either middle school or elementary school, we read this book about the Japanese internment camps, and I think one was on Ellis Island.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so think about it. That place has been set up to, like, house and fortress things. Granted, it hasn't been used in many years, but, like, the initial planning is still there.
Okay.
You get a nice little community there. There's soil. You can grow things. See, I've got my plan. Guys, if you want to come to the island with me. I'm looking for people to join me.
To join the zombie apocalypse survival team?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. I'll be the brains, no pun intended. Also, there was Doctor Who footage.
Which I did not watch. Sorry.
It's fine. I'm meh on it. It's really sad because I kind of love Capaldi. I just, I, not that I don't love Moffat, but I'm not really loving what he's doing with the Doctor storylines lately. So I just kind of wish Capaldi had a better storyline. Also, I love Jenna Coleman, but I'm so over Clara.
I know you are.
I've been over her for a season and a half now. Like, it's done. Just go. It's okay. I still love you. And I will follow you and watch whatever else you do. But just leave the show. Go.
Yeah, she's going to hang on probably as long as the other companions did.
No, she was supposed to leave at the Christmas special.
I heard, yeah, I remember.
And then last minute was like, nope. And then they rewrote the ending and it was such crap. I'm sorry, it was such crap. I was just like, nope. Yeah. I called shenanigans.
So let's see, what else do we have? Because there was so much stuff that came out this weekend. They did do a little Peggy Carter Buzz vid, which was just footage from season one.
Oh.
Yes.
Comic news.
Oh, there is comic news.
Indeed. The two most important pieces of comic news that have me all a Twitter.
Oh,
I mean, there's,
we made
there's,
a joke.
There's tons of comic news that has me a Twitter. But most importantly, my top two right now, Joss.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
Joss Trust is doing a 6-issue comic.
Victorian Batman as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he described it.
Yeah. So Joss is doing a comic.
Called Twist.
There's going to be 6 issues. Hopefully it'll do super, super well. And he'll be like, let's do more. I doubt it. But, you know, a girl can dream.
Yep.
And you have heard Kate and I talk about this series several times, including our Women in Comics episode, which was our last episode. Hint, hint, you can listen to us in archives. Lady Killer.
I'm so excited.
One of our favorite books of the year is going to come back. Josie's going to come back, and this time it's some sort of beach thing. I don't know, but let's be excited. We're getting our assassin back.
I am so excited to get this back because we loved this comic, you guys. There was nothing about it I didn't like, but it was so short. I guess that's the one thing I didn't like.
That is what I didn't like. It was only like 4 issues.
So now Josie's going to be a freelance assassin. So she's working for herself.
What?
So her kills are, it says, Josie's kills aren't as glamorous as when she worked for the corporation. And the Florida mosquitoes aren't the only ones out for her blood.
Dum, dum, dum.
So if you guys have not read Lady Killer, it's a quick read. It's 5 issues. I know for a fact they're coming out with the trade. It's for pre-order on Amazon and Things from Another World. Things from Another World also has all 5 of the issues, but issue 1 and 2 are second printings.
Good to know.
If you care about that kind of thing. But I was over there looking at the trade thinking I should just buy the trade. And I was like, but I have all 5 issues, but I kind of want the trade. Stop. So it becomes, when I find something that I like this, I kind of want everything.
Oh yes.
So
I mean, you're talking to the girl who not only bought all 12 individual issues of Dan Slott's She-Hulk, but then had to buy the trade when she saw it.
I remember you buying the trade, yes. So yeah, that's 2 of the bigger comic book news type things that came out of Comic-Con. Those are the 2 that obviously Em and I are the most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a link to the 10 Comic-Con comic announcements that kind of made San Diego Comic-Con that we'll get up for you guys.
Also, Lee, it's important to note, I didn't hear about this through San Diego stuff, so maybe it was announced at San Diego, maybe it was announced directly after. I imagine if it came out this soon, then it had to have been announced in San Diego because, come on. Spider-Man and Deadpool are teaming up for an ongoing series.
Of comics?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that'll be fun. Oh my gosh, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be glorious, guys.
Oh my goodness. That is going to be so much fun. In other comic book news, this is just a quick one, and I actually plan to, if you guys remember way back when, M supported a project called Story Killers on Kickstarter and got the copy. Now it's my turn. I just found a Kickstarter for a book that's called The Secret Loves of Geek Girls. And the funny thing about it is it started because of a typo. One of the artists was texting another, or one of the authors was texting another one, and it was supposed to be the secret lives of geek girls, and she said the secret loves. So this is a Kickstarter that's going on right now. They are well over their goal. There's 10 days to go on it. They have 2,600 backers so far. The rewards are pretty stellar. You at least get a digital copy, if not a collected edition of it. So The Secret Loves of Geek Girls is a celebration of the stories we tell each other but never make public until now. This nonfiction anthology of text stories and comics features stunning work from an amazing cast of female creators negotiating their way through love, dating, and sex. The number of women who are writing it, illustrating it, and lettering it is astounding. So all these women are telling kind of, I guess, like their own little story in the book, if I read it correctly. But it's going to be a 6x9 soft cover, approximately 250 pages, with mixed art and text.
Woohoo!
And I can't wait. It looks so cool. Based on just the cover image that they have up there, I'm really excited. There's one lady that has a cat, and I was like, hey, that fits our group.
Cat ladies!
I guess we should start calling me the horse lady, because we just got another one. So, yeah, we'll get the link up for you guys for that one. A $5 or more donation gets you an early bird special, which is a digital copy of the entire collection. Woo! So $5, you guys, you'll get a digital copy of this as soon as it's done, which is going to be in December of this year. There are other ones that are more. If you pledge $10, you get, $20 or more, you get the digital copy, plus you'll get a copy of the physical book. So I think that's probably the one I'm going to go with. But yeah, so that's my little Kickstart campaign for this year that I just found.
I love it. I'm also going to point out that, as Kate mentioned, you should all go read Story Killer because it's phenomenal. And it is written by the author who does the writing for the Gem and the Holograms comic. So there you go. Just extra coolness.
Indeed.
Also, speaking of campaigns.
Yeah.
Some people missed it because they were busy doing the whole San Diego thing, and I was not there, so I had time to post stuff. But your friend Elle, or our friend,
the Elle, Nerd Out app, woo,
is getting behind her idea. She's starting Indiegogo for the Nerd Out app, which would be an app that works with your
location service on your phone.
Thank you. I was going to say your locator thingy on your phone. So, location service sounds so much better.
Right.
And informs you of all the geeky type things that is going on in your area. So imagine instead of searching all of Twitter and Facebook and all sorts of event pages to figure out when things are, just having it all magically little pop up in your app. And then if you're traveling and you happen to be in a different city and you're like, hey, I got some time to kill, flip it open and woohoo, all the geeky stuff that's happening in that area at that time will pop up on your phone.
She just put up an Instagram post today that said, would you pay $1 for this app? Because I think if you donate $1 on her Kickstarter, you get the app when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's only going to cost you $1 to be able to see every nerdy thing going on in your city and at one glance, that's pretty stellar.
Pretty
awesome. So yeah, she contacted us with the press release a couple days ago, and we were both really excited about it the minute we read it. And yeah, it's really awesome. So we'll definitely get you guys the link to that as well. So, you know, just it's $1 donation and it gets you the app.
Right. It's awesome. It looks all sorts of awesome.
It really does. I can imagine. I mean, you know, you know a good amount of things that are going on during Comic-Con, but there are a lot of side things that you have no idea. Little things at comic book stores and stuff like that you might not know about and might really wish you had gone to. And you look back and you'll go, oh, but I was in town for New York Comic-Con and I could have gone to that.
But not only that, we're not even talking just New York Comic-Con. There's a bunch of like mini Comic-Cons that keep popping up places, yeah. And I'm like, after I see it, I'm like, I did not know that it existed.
Long Island Comic Con?
There's a couple on Long Island that literally are right near where I grew up that I had no idea. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
it's a thing.
There are a lot of little ones.
I could have gone to that thing. This is the first year I ever heard of Atlantic City Comic Con.
Boardwalk Comic Con, yeah.
Yeah. And they had some pretty decent people there this year. And unfortunately, I found out about it like the weekend before.
Yeah, we didn't find out about that one very quickly.
Or else I would have gone down to meet Thea because I love Willa.
Oh, that's right. Willa was there. I forgot Willa Holland was there.
Willa was there. And it was also the first con of Jeremy Shada.
Jeremy Shada, I think.
Yeah. I should know these things.
Yeah, you kind of should.
I really know these things. Who is the voice of Finn on Adventure Time?
But yeah, so it'll tell you more than just that. It'll tell you, I'm sure, artist signings, the comic book stores, and anything nerdy in your area is basically, I think, what Elle is trying to make happen on this app, and I can't think of anything better. What a great idea. I just wish I'd thought of it first.
Don't we all?
Dang it. So let's see what else happened this weekend. Oh, the Her Universe fashion show happened for the second time this year.
Mm-hmm. We'll put up pictures for you. Some of them, I was like, I would totally wear that. And some of them, I was like, I would never, ever. Don't know where you would wear that to.
I'll tell you what it made me think. So I've had an idea for a ball gown in my back pocket for about a year now. And it made me go, that what I have in mind would really fit in this.
I mean, whenever you say this, I just think ball gown.
I know you do.
Ball gown.
I know you do. Anyway, it's not a ball gown like you're thinking, like princess ball gown like Cinderella. No.
Ball gown.
So, yeah, I've had it in my mind and I was like, how does one enter the Her Universe fashion show? Not that I could do it next year because I will be working. Yeah, I'll be working that weekend for sure. But yeah, it made me wonder how I could get involved. I have to say, some of my favorite cosplayers who I just started following, if you guys don't know, I have a cosplay Instagram, which is about to get flooded with pictures of my current build because I finally have time. Yay, I have 6 weeks off. My cosplay Instagram is Starbuck, no S, Starbuck _ cosplay, if you want to go and check it out. And some of my favorite cosplayers that I follow on there, this is a funny way I found them. We were on Tumblr. I was floating around on Tumblr a couple of months back, and I found this amazing cosplay of Angie Martinelli from Agent Carter.
Oh my God, it was glorious.
And I went nuts. I was like, who is this girl? How do I find her? I have to know who she is. And
AKA Kate wants to stalk someone.
It wasn't stalking. It was more just like her costume.
Appreciativeness.
Stop it. It was that her costume was so stunning that I just was like, I want to know who this cosplayer is because, like, I just admire the craftsmanship. And, of course, the costume is Angie Martinelli from one of my favorite TV shows, so why not? So I forget exactly how I did find her. I think I found her on Instagram accidentally because I follow a guy who posts pictures of cosplayers. And he posted a picture of her in a different costume, and I clicked on her Instagram link and went to her Instagram and found her that way. Which sounds so stalkery. It's not, I promise. But anyway, I found her there, and then I found another girl who had cosplayed Peggy, and then another one that had cosplayed Dottie, and the three of them had been at a convention together and taken a really cute photo of them all, like, lifting up their skirts and showing off their garter belts. It was so cute. So then I started following all of them. Come to find out, all of them are friends, and they actually entered the cosplay competition at San Diego Comic-Con. I think it was at the con, or it might have been... anyway, there was a cosplay competition this weekend. And they won as a group. Like, it was a big group of, like, 12, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was just really fun. I forget exactly what... They were all brides or something. I'm sorry. I don't know the fandom that they were cosplaying. But it was just so awesome that, like, I've never met these people, but I was just so excited for them that they won this thing. They all, of course, got amazing photos with Hayley Atwell because they were all in their Agent Carter cosplay during the weekend. And this is how cool things are at Comic-Con. They were in line at the Marvel booth to try to get the tickets for the signing, and none of them got the tickets for the signing, but whoever was at the Marvel booth let them in the line because of their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's awesome. That's the kind of stuff that can make your convention.
Right.
And it was just so cute. They all got a selfie with Haley and with James. And it was just really, really cute. And I also have to, because I'm so excited about it, I have to throw a little thank you out there to Hiddlestone Educator from Twitter, who snagged me one of those Agent Carter posters while she was out there. You are the best. I'm so excited. more excited than I sound right now because I'm trying to rein it in.
She squealed.
I was very, very excited. Yeah, I know. You were on the phone with me.
I heard noises only dolphins can hear.
Stop. I was really, really excited that that she took the time to message me and be like, you wanted this, right? Yes. Yes, I did. Thank you very much. So yeah, anyway, so the cosplay that I saw this weekend in pictures all over Twitter, there were a sea of Agent Carter cosplays, which rock on, girls. I don't care what version of Peggy you were, you are awesome. There's a great picture of like, I think it's Hayley Atwell at the Marvel booth, and then there's like at least 25 women in a version of Peggy or Dottie and someone like a little girl did Dottie Underwood. So cool. And then of course, the Angie and the other girl who did Dottie as well. So it's this huge photo of all these girls. It was just so cool to see. I love that people love Peggy as much as I do and want to cosplay her, as I will at New York Comic Con. I won't tell you what version because it's pretty awesome and it's a surprise. But if you go follow my cosplay Instagram, you will see me building it. Gee, I just gave it away. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
But yeah, no, the cosplay was really, really cool. There were three girls who went as pastel Wookiees. Please tell me you saw that picture.
Chewie's angels?
Yes. Yeah. It was hilarious. It was just so much fun. Then I saw another two girls who were Elsa and Anna from Frozen, but Mad Max Fury Road style. I love these mashups, you guys. I just freaking love cosplay. It was a lot of fun to look at those pictures too, and to see people in cosplay at some of the panels was really fun. The Joss Whedon panel, there was one girl showed up in a costume I don't know because I haven't watched Buffy, but it was a character who the actor has since passed away, so she was like paying homage to him. And like him? She and Joss had a really cute moment about him, and it was just really so nice.
Well, now I want to know what it was.
If you go and watch the Joss Whedon San Diego Comic-Con panel, not the Nerd HQ panel.
Right.
She asks a question about halfway through.
Okay.
The other thing that you don't care about, but that I care about, Hannibal had a panel at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Explain to me how you're going to have a panel at San Diego Comic-Con and you're going to cancel the show.
The Peacock shite the bed again.
Okay, but here's the other... Brian Fuller finally did explain what happened with Netflix and Amazon. So Netflix passed on the show because Amazon has the streaming rights to it. Amazon passed on the show. Actually, technically, they passed on Amazon, because Amazon Prime wanted to do it faster than they felt they needed the time to keep the essence of the show alive, to keep the structure and the design aesthetic and all of that. They needed more time than Amazon Instant was willing to give them, than Amazon Prime was willing to give them for season 4. They're still hopeful, but the problem with them losing a backer like NBC as they lose all of their foreign backers as well. So, let's sigh. It was still nice. Like, Brian Fuller is hilarious. They made him a suit that is identical to one of Mads' suits from the show. At one point, he stood up from the panel table and went and grabbed flower crowns from one of the fans and made them all wear them.
Of course he did.
It was just, yeah. I mean, all of them are really game. The thing that I'm worried about is that, you know, very, very, very soon, all of the actors' contracts run out. And once that happens, they go on to other things. So, but, I mean, they were talking, there was also talk of a feature. So that could happen too. Right now, I'm just going to love on the rest of the season that I have left.
Okay, it's just wishing and hoping and thinking and praying. Planning wishing and dreaming.
And hoping. And praying. Okay, I'm done.
You're welcome.
This is not karaoke hour.
But it could be.
Says the girl who sent me a Dub Smash earlier tonight.
Hey, you requested it. It almost went up on the Instagram, but
I didn't quite request it. But anyway, so yeah, Comic-Con was so much fun. I didn't get any sleep this weekend, and it wasn't because I was at con, but it felt like I was at con. On Saturday, my dinner was a brownie with ice cream.
Oh, Lord.
I think I tweeted that I had a gluten-free brownie with ice cream, and I was like, I may not be at con, but I sure can't eat like it.
Good job.
So I love that we do this every year and that we have the opportunity to do it every year and that we get more and more coverage. And I feel like, honestly, I feel like over the weekend, we over here on this coast got more information and more content than anyone who was at Comic-Con.
Mm.
Because we got everything at once that hit the internet.
True.
Whereas some people, you know, had to wait until they were back in their hotel room to hit the internet, because I'm sure, I don't know for sure, but I'm fairly certain the San Diego Convention Center is probably just as bad as the Javits as far as Wi-Fi and cell phone signal is concerned. But I also know from paying attention to what people were saying about the Hall H line, that it was not run very well this year.
There were roaches this year.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, there were roaches.
Lovely. I did hear that people were waiting a ridiculous amount of time in line to get the wristbands.
That too, but
roaches.
You've lost me at roaches.
Our buddies, the Nerd Foo guys, at one point one of them tweeted, what I wouldn't do for pizza. And I'm sitting here like, I would totally go get you one if I were there. But
yeah.
But I'm not. I was like, how can I? No.
Listen, I'll be your gophers. I'll go for this. I'll go for that.
The thing I don't know if I could really handle being at San Diego Comic-Con is the amount of lines. Like, there are lines to just get into the restaurants for breakfast. So I was just like, I don't know if I could do it. I would go crazy.
I would pack my bag full of croissants and call it a day.
See, that's also what I was thinking. I was like my con brain kicks in and I go, what can I pack in my bag that I would fly out there with that would be breakfast every morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, we have all sorts of little tips to surviving Comic-Con ourselves.
Which you will be getting.
Oh, yeah. We'll share them with you as New York Comic-Con gets closer. Believe me, you guys, because we're seasoned veterans at New York Comic-Con. This will be our fifth year.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
We're getting old.
I know. Do you remember our first year?
Do you remember the first year we didn't care about anything?
Nothing. We were walking around the con floor like,
I don't even really know why we went.
I don't either. Because we didn't go to any panels, really.
No, we went to two panels. Three.
I think we only went Saturday and Sunday.
We only went Saturday and Sunday, and I left early on Sunday. We went to three panels. We did the Conan panel.
Conan the Barbarian, that's right.
Yes.
With Stephen Lang. And then what was that?
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova.
Also with Slang. And
the Silver Fox.
I thought we did one more, but maybe we didn't. Maybe it was just Slang Day, Slang Weekend.
I don't know why we were there either.
I don't. I mean, there was some cool stuff there. Yeah. And then it wasn't until the year after that I was like, oh, look at all this cool TV stuff. And then the year after that I was like, comics, 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 yeah, and comics.
That was when comics started. Yeah, from where we were 5 years ago to where we are now is remarkable.
Yes. We've come a long way, baby.
We've come such a long, long way, and now we cosplay. That was the best British accent you're going to get from me, I think.
Really?
No, don't go there.
One of my coworkers just came back. He's technically, he was raised in Britain for the most part, but he came over, he's been back in America for years and years and years, and when he was back for college, he couldn't make friends because none of the guys wanted to hang out with him because he would steal all the girls, not on purpose, but he had a British accent, so he lost the accent. And I think it's the dumbest thing he ever did. And he happened to be over there for a wedding for about 10 days. And he came back today. And he definitely had some of the accent. And I was like, I've missed you so much. Just talk to me.
I worked with an actor on one of the shows this season who's from England. And he said when he goes back, his family can't stand to talk to him because he does all the certain American things. Like we T's mm-hmm. and things like that. And they'll be like, "We shut up. We can't talk to you."
But he was doing it for like the morning. And then as the day progressed, he started to like lose it. And I was like devastated. Mm. I would just go up to him and point to his phone and be like, how do you say that, Luca? How do you say that? He'd be like, "Telephone." I'm like, "No, you were in the office before and you were like, phone. And I want to hear that again."
Which reminds me, if you guys watched the Marvel panel from SDCC, Jeff Loeb moderated it.
Oh, God.
And there are a couple of things that he did were really funny. Like, he appeared on stage wearing Peggy's red hat, mm-hmm. which Haley then came out and took from him. But he made fun of, he not made fun of, but he started to, like, do a British accent. But all he really did was, and then Haley Atwell and James DRC made fun of him. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun panel. You guys should go watch it. Because they do Agent Carter, and then they do Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, like, they separate it. But then there was a moment. The way that it is up on Flick City, you don't really quite see the very beginning. So when they start the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, he's holding a hand, and Clark walks out with, like, his left hand in his sleeve and grabs the hand from Jeff Loeb and marches backstage.
As you do.
They're such goobers. Last year at New York Comic Con, when they did the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, Clark and Jeff had a fight because Jeff was wearing a Hydra shirt. That worked out in our favor, though, because we got to see the first footage of Agent Carter because of that. So... not really. I know they planned to do that anyway. But
it just seemed better that way.
It did seem better that way. It was just so much fun. Clark, like, "Who do you think I am?" And he whipped out the DVD out of his pocket. They had literally started filming Agent Carter the Monday before.
Yes.
So it was like literally 5-day-old footage.
As you do.
So, well, I think we've pretty much talked about everything. We have a ton of links that we're going to get up for you guys that are more than just what we talked about.
Because there was so much.
Because there was just so much, which is how Comic-Con goes. But we really hope that you guys stuck it out with us, and that you'll come back next year for SDCC from NYC, because we'll be doing it again.
Oh, yes,
we do it all the time. So for now, the next con that we're doing, obviously, is New York Comic-Con.
It's coming.
Phone, excuse you. It is coming faster than you think. Much faster than you think, because according to I have a countdown on my phone. Don't
no,
laugh.
No, I know. I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at your phrasing.
What, that is coming faster than you think?
Yes.
It is coming faster than you think. 2 months, 23 days, and 16 hours, you guys. Do you want to know why I have a countdown on my phone? Because I have a costume to build. Mm. But yeah, New York Comic Con will be the next one that we're doing. And we, of course, will do a bunch of prep stuff for you guys and let you know how we survive New York Comic Con. And we hope to see some of you guys there. Yeah, quite literally. Kate, eat a Snickers. Just eat a Snickers.
Eat a Snickers.
So yeah, until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
Have a great weekend, geek.